following interview is conducted as part of the Georgia Institute of Technology's Everyday Georgia Interview Project. Today is July 21st. The interview is taking place in Vine City. The interviewer is Allison Powell Key. The interviewee is Bashel Lewis. He is a student and community activist. Thank you for participating in this project.
No problem, of course.
Okay, first question is, can you talk about where you were born and where you grew up?
Yeah, so I was born here in Vine City in the English Avenue community. So Dr. Martin Luther King literally stayed down the street, and I went to the first ever African-American high school in Georgia, which is Booker T. Washington High School. And I'm a fourth generation resident. So my grandmother and mother all attended the same high school as me.
Okay. And can you please talk about your education and career experiences?
Yeah, so I went to Bethune Elementary School, and then I went to Kennedy Middle, and then went to Booker T. Washington High School, and my family pretty much did the same exact thing. But when I got to high school, I kind of started to notice the lack of resources and the disadvantage that I was at. And so from that, I kind of used my obstacles as a way to advocate for others and myself. So I noticed that we're trying to build community, and I'm not just... My baby sister is now going to high school, so I'm advocating not just for myself, but for like my successive generations. So, any follow-up question to that?
Yeah, go more into depth in that about that.
Okay, so there's a lot of development happening right now, and with development comes change and, let's just be real, displacement. And so, Kennedy Middle School is now closed down, and Bethune Middle School is now closed down, causing Brown Middle School to be overcapacitated. So a lot of students are in one classroom. And as you know, like, that's not a productive learning environment, especially when you have little resources. And so that really gets to me a lot, because pretty hard for me, even in like a 13-to-1 student to teacher ratio, to learn. So for students to be in almost 20-to-1, I can almost like see the struggle. And so I would go to a lot of the community meetings and a lot of the board meetings and advocate as a student, saying, hey, we should not close this early college program down because students need early access to college, and letting them know that it's okay to go. And I think that from that point in my life at high school and advocating, people started to take me seriously, because they saw that I wasn't just like getting prompted from another adult. Like, I was doing this because I wanted to.
All right. Let's talk about your interests or hobbies.
So some of my interests, let's see. Well, first, I'm a personal lifestyle blogger. So I have a fashion blog. I was the first person in my family to leave the country and own a passport last year. So at the age of 19, I was able to study in London, and then I traveled to like 6 different countries. And so I created that blog so that people from my community could see that like, this is something that you can do, because I did it too. And if you need help, like, this could be your portal to helping you. So I currently attend college in California at Pitzer College, and that's provided me with a lot of opportunities. But outside of personal lifestyle blogging, I'm a part of the Westside Atlanta Land Trust, which is a grassroots organization whose main mission is to use the community's power for self-determination. So we want to create a permanently affordable housing for the indigenous residents that were here before all of the newly developed homes.
Okay. Can you talk about a significant person or event which influenced who you are today?
A significant person or event who influenced who I am today. Let's see. Wow. I think a significant moment in my life was when I, so we have something called Mr. and Miss Washington at my high school. And my great-grandmother, once again, my grandmother and my mother all went to this high school. Mm-hmm. So no one in my family had ever like run for Mr. Washington or Miss Washington. And so I decided to do it, and I was super nervous because I'm queer and I'm Black, and I'm not like just what people are used to, like the popular kid in high school. Mm-hmm. So My family supported me through running for that because it's not just a title. It's like you respect it amongst the entire community. So I was invited to like events with the mayor. I was invited to dinners with some of the college students at the time. And so I ran for it and I won. So that was very significant because then I think people started to see me like as, I don't know, like a community leader and an activist, because that's what I want to be. And that's who I am. It is Bayshul.
Right. So what are your plans after school
after college? So right now I'm interning with the Nielsen company. I don't know how familiar you are with the Nielsen company. So we're a data analytics company, and I'm working on their Coca-Cola account. So I'm actually working at the Coca-Cola headquarters. Mm-hmm. My dreams are to work in brand management or start a life as a social media influencer, really. So, and I know that's over, that's like so saturated now, but I definitely want to do that and still be a community leader and still come back and mentor people and be here and make sure that this affluent African-American neighborhood, well, once was affluent, can still thrive, like with or without me.
Right. What do you think that looks like? What do you think a thriving community looks like?
Well, I'm going to be specific and say a thriving African-American neighborhood looks like.
Yeah.
I think that it's where people are in affordable housing. There are resources here. So we are known to have a food desert. Like you have to walk a certain amount of miles just to get food. And sometimes the food isn't as affordable. And you have to carry back the groceries because... So I think that an accessible community, I think that's very important. So accessible in the fact, like physically and also resource-wise. I think that people being able to have opportunities as far as like jobs and also like financial literacy, because that's important. And I think that education, like having our schools back in our district and kids not having to go across town just to attend a school.
Right.
Yeah, so I think that's the start of it. Oh, I know there's so many more factors in it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, can you talk about how you initially became involved with Georgia Tech?
I became involved with Georgia Tech because with the Westside Atlanta Land Trust, we wanted to find a way to track all the houses in the Vine City and the English Avenue community and their conditions. Because the city said that, so in the English Avenue and Vine City community, let's just say, because I don't know the accurate number, there are 7,000 houses.
Right.
The city said, well, only 2,000 are vacant and abandoned or empty. And we said, no, it's not. No, I wanted to say something else, but I don't know how filtered I can be. But it's definitely not. So we partnered with Georgia Tech to find a way that the community can take action and hold the city accountable for what they're getting paid to do.
Right.
So Georgia Tech helped us develop an app on ArcGIS. So we also work with like their mapping people. And it was an app where we can go in and we would literally, in the summer, we had 13 interns from ages 16 to 20. Mm-hmm. And we went to every single house in Vine City and English Avenue and put in, this house is vacant, this house is abandoned. Oh, wow. This house is fire damaged. And then we could take a picture, like if a stop sign was broken or if a fire hydrant was broken, mm-hmm. and it would go straight to the city. And then we can say, hey, we put in a report on this date. You still haven't followed up. What's going on?
Right.
So that was one moment where I felt like Georgia Tech helped me as a younger person get the instant gratification of activism, because I know that Generation Z and millennials were all about now. But Georgia Tech really helped bridge that gap. Right. So I'm very appreciative for that.
Okay. Do you have any sense of how many houses you were able to track?
We tracked all of Vine City and English Avenue. So I want to say, I am so not getting an accurate count, but probably 7,000.
Okay, I could probably don't get that quote from me on Amanda that.
So yeah, Amanda would probably be able to tell you. Okay. So yeah, we tracked all of them, and we didn't just track houses. We tracked lots. We tracked parks because we want an updated map. Because keep in mind, people are getting paid to do this.
Right.
And they're in their cars through their window just saying, oh, that's vacant. Oh, but we are in the community, so we can walk up to the house and say, excuse me, you know, how are you? And then also we would also report like if something was wrong with the house. So if an elderly person is living in it, we would say, oh, what needs work in your house? Mm-hmm. And we would write it down in the notes. Mm-hmm. So I think that the city could have done a better job at partnering with us or something like that. But
Do you know if the city has utilized any of the information that you have been able to provide, you and Georgia Tech have been able to provide?
No, I don't think they've used any of the information besides our like reports when we say something is like broken.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah.
Okay. Just talk more about what does it mean to give back to your community, and, you know, talk more about that.
Yes, what it means to give more back to my community. So, in the words of my grandmother, she would, when I got to California, I was talking on the phone with her, and she would always say, "You need to humble yourself, sir, because you forgot where you came from." So, I literally would keep that in mind. Everything that I'm doing, I'm like, okay, this is great. I'm traveling the world. This is great. I'm getting recognized for this. This is great. But you need to humble yourself and remember where you came from, Vine City. So I think that's what giving back to my community means to me. It's like always remembering what made me who I am, because while I was in it, I did feel a lot of things. Depressed, I felt anxiety, I felt like I wasn't valued. But stepping away and looking at the forest from the sky, it was like, wow, this is what made me who I am, and this is what value I add to this community.
Right.
So I think that's why it's so important to me.
Are there any other experiences that you'd like to share?
Any particular, like?
Personally, or just your community work, anything like that?
Okay. I know that for me, working as a young person and being here, it can get very disheartening sometimes. Mm-hmm. I think that I'm 20 years old now, and I'm talking like I'm 30, but I'm 20. So, you know, I always say that the youth makes up 25% of the nation right now, but we're 100% of the future. Mm. 100% of the future. So when I'm advocating on Twitter, when I'm in the community, going to meetings, and people like take me as a joke or they don't take me as serious, It frustrates me, because I'm like, wow, like, when are they going to recognize that, like, I'm the future and this is what I want? Like, you can't think about the future when you're on your deathbed. Like, you have to think about it now. And so it really frustrates me. And I think that my experiences, I think if anybody can take something from this, is to like listen to the young people, hear what they want, and teach them at a young age that it's okay to vocalize your voice. Because in school, they will always be like, Basha, sit down, you're talking too much. But it's like, no, like, I have something to say. Please do not mute me. My emotions are valid. My thoughts are valid. Like, call me out if I'm wrong, but like, I think that's so important. And I wish that there were better ways to connect the community with the youth than people to reach the hand back out. Even being 20, I'm trying my best to mentor people and tell them about the scholarship that I got, or even start a scholarship. So I think that's like one thing.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. That's all the questions I have.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
No
problem.
Thank
you for participating in the Everyday Georgia Interview Project and sharing your story with us.
Of course. Thank you so much.